Hey, good evening. I'm calling to order the special meeting of the Tacoma Planning Commission. Today is Wednesday, April 4th. It is 5:31 p.m. Do we have a quorum present?
Mr. Chair, with eight members currently on the commission, six are present, and Commissioners McInnes and Waller have scheduling conflicts at work and have asked to be excused. With that, you do have a quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. Since this is a special meeting because of the change in time and location, we do not have the ability to amend our agenda, so I am going to dispense with asking the commission to approve the agenda. We have no minutes for approval. We also, item C on our agenda, public comments. Since the sole topic of our meeting tonight is a public hearing, we will not be accepting public comments outside of the context of the public meeting. Therefore, we turn to item D, the public hearing on the 2018 amendments to the Comprehensive Plan and Land Use Regulatory Code. So I will now officially call to order our public hearing. As I said, these are the proposed amendments to the Comprehensive Plan and the Land Use Regulatory Code for 2018, also known as the 2018 amendments. This public hearing is being recorded. Those who wish to testify should sign up on the sign-in sheets, which I believe are in the lobby outside of the door. And background information about the subject of the hearing is also available. The procedures for the hearing are as follows. First, Steve Atkinson from city staff will provide a briefing about the subject. After the staff presentation, I will ask staff to bring up the sign-in sheet, and I'll ask people to come testify in the order in which they signed in. Each speaker will have up to 3 minutes to make your comments. Your testimony should be brief, and it's not necessary to repeat testimony previously given by others. In other words, we don't keep score how many people speak one way and how many speak another way. After the oral testimony, after everyone who has signed up speaks, I will have a call to the room if anybody who had not yet signed up wants to speak. Then after that, we'll leave the public hearing record open until the end of the week, specifically Friday, April 6th at 5 p.m. At the very end of our meeting, while the Planning Commission will not be providing any direction, specific direction to staff tonight, the commissioners may ask staff clarifying questions for additional research they can do to bring back information to the commission at our meeting in 2 weeks. When we reconvene in 2 weeks, we'll consider all the oral and written testimony received to date and then forward a recommendation on to the City Council. So that is the general format of our public hearing. One last reminder is that, before I forget and read the last instruction on here for me, that this is a public hearing and it's an opportunity for members of the public in the community to provide testimony. It's not a discussion session or a Q&A session. If you have questions about details in the presentation or details of the package, please avail yourself of the various staff who are here in the audience. And when Mr. Atkinson does his presentation and speaks about the various items, he'll point out the members of the city staff who are here who could answer questions from you offline. So with that, I will call on Mr. Atkinson for his presentation.
Great. Thank you, Chair Wambach and members of the commission. I'm Stephen Atkinson, a principal planner with the city's long-range planning division. And I'm pleased this evening to introduce briefly the applications that are before the commission and before the audience tonight for public comment. I don't want to take for granted that our audience tonight may have differences of familiarity with our Comprehensive Plan and Land Use Regulatory Code, so I want to provide a little bit of background on the Planning Commission's process prior to discussion of the applications. So these are amendments to our Comprehensive Plan and Land Use Regulatory Code, as the Chair mentioned. Our comprehensive plan is a document that is developed to fulfill our obligations under the State Growth Management Act, and the applications that are before the Commission this evening were developed in accordance with the procedures in the GMA as well as in Tacoma Municipal Code Title 13. The comprehensive plan outlines goals and policies related to a variety of subjects. They range from the city's goals and policies related to housing and affordable housing, to transportation, to land use and design and development, as well as our goals for park and recreation and other services and amenities. One of the things that the comprehensive plan does is look at the relationships between these subjects. so that we can develop a plan and an approach to guiding growth and development in this community that is for the benefit of Tacomans and provides a higher quality of life for our residents. Our land use regulatory code is more specific. These are more of the procedures and the rules that developers must follow when they come in for permits. So it defines what permits are needed, the procedures for getting those, and the standards that must be met. And these range from everything from development heights to setbacks to requirements pertaining to building orientation and parking standards. And I will... one of the things that we periodically do is open our comprehensive plan and land use regulatory code for potential amendments. This is in part to make sure that we're being responsive to new issues within the city, new policy directives from the city council, as well as providing opportunities for our residents, business owners, to identify issues of concern to them and to raise those concerns and bring them forward to the Planning Commission and the City Council to pursue amendments to the city's planning and land use codes. We typically package these applications into one set of amendments for purposes of efficiency. So there's one process and one public hearing instead of seven or eight different schedules and different hearings that people need to keep track of, as well as for purposes of performing cumulative reviews. So we want to make sure that if we are looking at both plan and code amendments and a variety of different amendments, that we're considering the ways that these amendments might relate and to ensure that there's consistency in what we're proposing and recommending to the City Council. As part of my presentation, I want to provide a little bit of background on the amendment process that we've been through to this point, a summary of the applications, as well as the public notification that's been undertaken to support the hearing tonight, as well as opportunities to provide comments. So the comment period is not closed this evening. The comments will still be accepted before 5 p.m. This Friday. So this chart outlines the different phases that the Planning Commission process and legislation goes through. Last June, we received, last April and March and April, we received applications, both public and private applications, to amend the Comp Plan Land Use Code. The Commission undertakes a scoping and assessment phase to determine what projects will go on to the docket for the Commission's work program. Then it proceeds into an analysis phase to review some of the technical issues involved in the applications and other options that the Commission can consider in their recommendations. Staff performs initial outreach to affected parties, to community and neighborhood groups and associations. And then the Commission develops an initial staff report and exhibits that the Commission authorizes for public comment and for public hearing. And that's the phase that we're at this evening. And I want to point out that the amendment process as outlined here still identifies we have a number of steps yet to go through. So the Commission, as the Chair said, will receive the testimony, both written and oral testimony. We'll consider that and any amendments to the exhibits there as a result from those comments. And we'll then ultimately consider a recommendation to the City Council. When the City Council receives that recommendation, they will also hold a public hearing and consider potential amendments as a result of that testimony. One thing to point out for the audience tonight as well, the process shows us at generally a midpoint from a timing standpoint. The next phases of this process will occur within the next 2 months. So April 6th, this Friday, the comment period will close. The Commission will then deliberate on that testimony, and we expect a recommendation to Council to occur in May. And the Council will take up their review in May and June in determining their review and adoption. As part of the application packages here, we had seven distinct applications. First, the car wash uses in neighborhood centers started as a private application. This would amend our neighborhood commercial zoning, which is a core zoning district that we use in our neighborhood mixed-use centers, such as Lincoln, McKinley, Proctor, Narrows. It would amend the use table and use allowances in that district to allow vehicle service, repair, and car wash uses as a conditional use permit, and would continue to prohibit those uses fronting our core pedestrian streets. The vehicle service and repair Also, another vehicle service repair related to outdoor storage. This was also a private application. This would amend the land use regulatory code, again, several different zoning districts to change uses and development standards. Outdoor tire storage is currently prohibited in certain districts. This would amend the land use code to prohibit outdoor storage of materials in the UCX district. It would allow outdoor storage within the C2 general commercial district where it's currently prohibited, and also apply certain screening, landscaping, and other mitigation standards on those uses. It would also affect M1 and M2 zoned properties where they abut our residentially zoned properties or core pedestrian streets. The South 80th Street rezone is both a plan and code amendment. This also started as a private application. This would rezone approximately 23 acres on South 80th between Oak Tree Park and the Bates South Tacoma campus. These properties are currently a mix of planned development business district zoning, R2 single family zoning, and C2 general commercial zoning. The amendments would do two things. One would change the future land use map and the comprehensive plan for those properties from a general commercial designation to a light industrial designation, and then likewise change the zoning to M1 light industrial to implement that comprehensive plan amendment. The C2 VSD height methodology is also a code change. That was also a private application. And this was focused on some initial concerns about the impacts of the current methodology for measuring building height and applying the height standards within the VSD areas for commercial properties, and disparity in impact and how that affected the viability of new businesses and new development in those areas, depending on whether you're on the uphill side of the sloped properties or on the downhill side of those properties. There are, just to note, two options within the packet. So there's an, option one and option two that the commission released for public comment. So as people are providing testimony on that, we'd call special attention to the two proposals that the commission has authorized for public review. The Transportation Master Plan is a plan amendment. This was a public-initiated application to amend the city's transportation master plan, and this would affect some of the definitions. It would also add new performance measures and standards into the plan to identify how well we're progressing over time and meeting the goals that we've stated for ourselves for our transportation system. It would also add new projects. So the transportation master plan includes a project list. That is a list of projects that are intended to help the city create the transportation system it needs to meet our goals for a multimodal transportation system, as well as to accommodate the growth that we're projecting for the city. The projects that are in that then move into the transportation improvement program. So the comprehensive plan element, the TMP, includes a broad list of projects needed to fulfill the system. Over time, as we look at funding availability and funding sources, those projects move into the six-year funding program. The Open Space Corridors Project is a code amendment. This is also a public initiated application. And this is seeking to more fully implement policies that were adopted as part of the 2015 Comprehensive Plan update pertaining to our open space corridors and about directing development away from the sensitive areas within the city. The code that's proposed for the open space implementation is really adding clarification and more prescriptive standards to areas of the code that are already regulated. Our critical area standards apply to fish and wildlife habitat conservation areas within the city. The biodiversity corridors that are identified are one of our fish and wildlife habitat conservation areas. And so this code is seeking to add clarity on how we regulate those areas under the auspices of the Growth Management Act and our critical area standards. The code cleanups is a variety of amendments, so these typically range from Scrivener's errors to citations to just ensuring that there are code conflicts. So those are things that we periodically identify and address within the code. So subject matter here ranges from clarifying the applicability of our townhouse parking standards addressing some current inconsistencies in our lot size averaging standards, as well as we've discussed amendments to the commission's some clarifications to the commission's procedures related to amendments to the comprehensive plan and land use code. So those are the applications that we have. We do conduct a CEPA review, non-project action CEPA review, per the Washington Administrative Code and our own CEPA procedures. A preliminary determination of non-significance was issued on March 1st, 2018. We do include notification of the CEPA as part of the public notice that goes out to the public, and it is included within the public review document that is provided for public review and comment this evening. That, unless modified as a result of the comments and testimony that we receive, that preliminary determination will become final on April 13th. Public notification was broadly disseminated in support of the amendments this year. We had two public notices that were issued to over 7,000 taxpayers and interested parties. That's an image of the public notice. We disseminate the notice and information to our libraries on TV Tacoma. There's a video of myself floating around explaining what the amendment package is, as well as through social media, Facebook events, and boosted advertising on Facebook and the city's Twitter accounts. We also provide the 60-day notices to the state, as well as the notification to the Puyallup tribe. And we also conducted a number of community meetings. So we had two informational meetings to provide question and answer sessions with the public. But we also attend community council meetings, neighborhood council meetings, as well as meetings with a number of other stakeholders, Master Builders Association among them. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, there are still opportunities to comment. So tonight is one opportunity. The comment period closes on Friday. The public review materials are available at cityoftacoma.org/2018amendments. People can provide comments still up until 5 o'clock on Friday at planning@cityoftacoma.org or send letters to Planning Commission at 747 Market Street. And with that, I will end my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions at this time, if you have any.
Are there any procedural questions from the Planning Commissioners? All right, if not, I will turn to our sign-in list, and staff has presented me the first 20 names that have signed up, and I see that some people have already crossed their names off. And so what I will do is I will read your name, and I'm going to apologize in advance if I mispronounce your name or if I can't read your writing. So I'll read off three names at a time, and you can come up in the order that you're called, approach the podium. Staff will start a timer going for 3 minutes, and you will hear a tone when your 3 minutes are exhausted. So I will start with Cynthia Felipe, Mary Sinnott, and Eric Jackson. Those are the first three people I have signed up. Cynthia? No? No Cynthia. All right. Mary Sinnott? You don't want to speak, all right? So then, Eric Jackson. Come on down.
Is there an introductory procedure? Or? I'm Eric Jackson, Pierce County resident, retired. I was here to speak on the zoning change for the car wash uses in NCX. Car washes utilize responsible water use in our urban cores. The current 6th Avenue location for the car wash is at capacity a lot of times. Any sunny day during a weekend, it's jam-packed with people. It's at over capacity. There's a high density of cars located in our urban areas, much like 6th Avenue and Pacific Avenue in Tacoma. High use of commuters, apartment dwellers, use car washes because they're convenient. many apartment buildings are banning car washes on their sites. As more and more Pierce County residents try to do the right thing when washing their cars, operations such as Brown Bear have a current need to accommodate the newer, higher social consciousness that's been created. The other night I was watching King 5 News. I was a little alarmed to see, this was just two nights ago on King 5, that the Chinook salmon are about ready to be put on the endangered species list. Puget Sound, Chinook salmon. I think public officials should do everything they can to alleviate this and head this off, whether it's changing the zoning a little bit or allowing better environmental use of water use. I just think it's the right thing to do, and I just wanted to speak out on that. I didn't use my 3 minutes, so feel free to.
I did forget to ask you to provide your address.
1223 South Ferry Street.
Thank you.
Tacoma.
All right.
Any questions for me?
We're not allowed to ask you questions.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. The next three people signed up, Ginny Eberhart, Eric Markham, and Lance Odermatt. Ms. Eberhart.
Good evening. My name is Ginny Eberhart. I live at 1317 South Winifred. I'm a member of the West End Neighborhood Council, and I'm here representing that council. We are asking that the car wash application be denied. Right now, our area is finally getting revitalized. We're finally seeing a mixed-use center in the way that a mixed-use center is supposed to be, with businesses on the bottom and apartments or condos going up on the top. We have a new doggy daycare going in with apartments or businesses on the upper floor. We have the Imperial Dragon is going to be torn down and new facilities are going to be going in there. To put a car wash on 6th Avenue, which is a mixed-use area, they're not going to be allowed to use 6th Avenue to come into the car wash. They're going to have to go onto the side streets. All you have to do is watch what goes on at Geiger School in the morning and afternoon to see that that traffic is going to be absolutely impossible for the kids to be walking home. It is going to make a mess of the side streets. They're narrow. They already have cars parked all along there. To add to it with the car wash is something that we're not wanting in our neighborhood. We ask that you deny this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Markham, Lance Odermatt, and Steve Gillen are the next three on our list.
No comment for
Eric. Eric, no comment. Lance coming up now.
Members of the commission, good evening. My name is Lance Odermatt, and I'm here again tonight before you representing Brown Bear Car Wash and our proposed car wash development project at 6902 and 6918 6th Avenue. I respectfully ask your support to allow our project as a conditional use within the NCX district. The properties which are the subject of our application have long been abandoned. They are in poor condition and detriments to the neighborhood. They are being trespassed upon, broken into, and littered with drug paraphernalia on a near daily basis. The existing buildings and structures should be demolished. We are prepared to immediately authorize a contract for just over $65,000 to do just that. However, before we spend that money, I trust that it's reasonable to understand that we need to have some form of business justification to do so. We need some light at the end of the tunnel that our application will be allowed to proceed. I understand why the community and the Planning Commission are hesitant about our project. Nobody wants to see a project go forward that will be a detriment to the neighborhood. However, I submit that our project would be just the opposite. We are prepared to spend millions of dollars on these properties. We would build a state-of-the-art, environmentally friendly facility with no expense spared on landscaping and appearance. We opened a site in May of last year in the city of Paulsbo on the main intersection entering the city. We faced fierce opposition, especially from the mayor. It was one of the hardest projects we have ever permitted. When it was all said and done, we succeeded in turning a very opinionated mayor from an opponent into a proponent of the project. I'm confident we can achieve the same success here amongst those that currently oppose our application. I am not some out-of-town corporate representative. My dad started this company in 1957. We are a family-owned business. We have had a handful of locations in Tacoma since the early 1970s. I myself, in my younger years, worked at the 38th Street location and later at the 6th Avenue location. As a company, we have never downsized. We've never had a single layoff in over 60 years of doing business. I believe we offer the highest starting wage of any retailer currently on 6th Avenue. In an age where Amazon is decimating the retail sector and making streets like 6th Avenue into ghosts of their former selves, we are a stable presence. Ideally, we would not be looking to relocate from our present location. However, our existing site, which is just a half mile up the road, is too small and its building is at its end of life. The site is old and tired, and renovation is not a viable option. In summary, we are at a crossroads of either being allowed to go forward with this application or pursuing an opportunity in Gig Harbor. Our strong preference is to remain on 6th Avenue. I appreciate this community. Like all of you, I care about its future, and I hope our company is afforded the opportunity to contribute to it here on 6th Avenue. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. All right, so we have Steve Gillen, Anthony Steele, and then Mary Smith.
Hello, my name is Stephen Gillen. I live at 5306 29th Street Northeast. My concern is these sustainable development policies are, they diminish property rights, they regulate businesses, and they control water use and other uses, and basically control, eventually will control every aspect of a person's life and change the aspect of the community. It's very damaging. Our whole society will be changed, and that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Anthony Steele, then Mary Smith, and then Mike Fleming.
Good evening. I'm here to voice some concerns about the commercial view sensitive district height methodology. first and foremost, wanted to state that like for more information to be given to the community prior to moving forward with this particular zoning issue. One thing that is not clear as to is which areas it would actually cover, which particular, I'm sorry, I'm from 1223 Martin Luther King, and I'm also the president of the Business Association for the Hilltop. I understand through staff that this particular zone is, action is for a different business district, but there's nothing that precludes it from beginning to cover or be applied to other business districts. Also, as it relates to the plan itself, it was stated earlier by staff that there are actually two proposals that are in your hands. However, they're not in the community's hands. We need to be able to see that so that way we can accurately make comments in this particular process. But further than that, I would say that if we do move forward with this particular methodology, it would begin to actually punish landowners as well as property owners and business owners on each side of the street. One property owner that would be fronted on a particular street would have to keep their property at a certain height, so just so that the property owner on the other side could have a much better view. It is something that is a problem because those landowners have invested in those properties on those sides of the street for those particular reasons. If we then come after they've purchased those properties, then they'll be precluded from redeveloping their properties, adding height to their properties for view on that particular side of the street as well. Also, I think, and finally, it is important for us to note that as we begin to do this, we need to make certain that whatever the height requirement is on a particular street is the same for everybody on both sides of the street. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, so next three on the list, Mary Smith, Mike Fleming, and Jeff Bell.
My name is Mary Smith. I live at 2902 North White Street, where my husband Jim and I have had the luxury of being residents for nearly 30 years. We thank you for the opportunity to comment on amendments to the commercial view district, view sensitive district height methodology. We are aware that there are three neighborhoods the change methodology will affect. Our comments will be from the perspective of Old Town residents. However, we think our support of option two favors residents of all three impacted neighborhoods. One of the charms of Old Town is the mix of residential and commercial properties. However, this has not been without its tensions over the years. Now, though, there is no question that Old Town is predominantly a residential neighborhood. It is because Old Town is predominantly a residential neighborhood, as opposed to a key commercial district, that we favor option two as the better amendment. Option two, as shown, limits height to 15 feet to roof structure and 20 feet to parapet for the uphill alley measurements. If you don't reside or live in Old Town and have the privilege of looking out your window, especially from various two-way downhill angles that exist, you might not think there is much difference between the two options. However, those of us who live in this beautiful neighborhood know that there is a difference. Option two is the better option. It favors just a bit the residents in the area over commercial building developers. It is the two-way downhill slope that makes this complicated. Our hills slope both down on the east and the north. Most homes in Old Town are very old and snugged in close together. Not all homes have views, but those of us with a view, and for some it's just a little bit, it is a slice of heaven. It is also reflected in our property taxes. Option two is the better option because after everyone leaves their Old Town offices or businesses for the day from which they have seen our beautiful Commencement Bay, the rest of us in the neighborhood remain. How sad it would be if a family's remaining peekaboo view of Commencement Bay was restricted by you selecting option one that allows for higher construction of commercial property. So please take this into consideration as you look at these two options. Option two favors only very slightly the residents of Old Town without any significant limitation to those who will likely build new commercial properties in our lovely mixed neighborhood. I have some signatures from my neighbors I'd like to leave for the record.
You can leave them with staff. Thank you. Right, Mike Fleming, Jeff Bell, Stacy Gillette.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Mike Fleming. I reside at 1522 South Fairview Drive in Tacoma, on the west end of Tacoma. I'm addressing item number four, the commercial view sensitive district height methodology. I guess I also am a member of the West Slope Neighborhood Coalition and vice chair of that, and am speaking on behalf of that organization tonight. In opposition to the proposed amendment to change the methodology. I know you've whittled it down from 2 to 1, but the amendment is supposed to, according to the staff analysis report, create more parity amongst parcels. And I know they were trying to create parity for frontage property affronting 30th Street so that it would be two stories on both sides of the street. And so that was what the requester, the private requester, was trying to get at, that he claimed that on his side of the street he could only build a one-story versus two-story. But I just want to point out, though, in those options that you've narrowed this down to, there's still a significant disparity in another aspect rather than frontage, and that's in the... On the one side of the street, you're allowed 3 levels of floor space on the north side of 30th and only 2 levels on the south side of 30th, which gives the one side 50% more floor space. And that's a big difference in a commercial building, 50% more. It creates a lot of disparity from one side to the other. So we really feel that the best solution is simply to utilize the existing variance process. You can address the issues of the one person that felt that they were being disadvantaged. You can examine the property and deal with, in this case, just one on one side of the street. And the variance process allows input from the neighbors and others within the vicinity, whereas amending this and changing this regulation, then they could just proceed without any notification to the other parties of what was going on. So we think that's a significant thing, that the community get input. And I will jump to another aspect of this, and that is the consultant's report had a point in there that a number of...
You're welcome to... I believe you've already provided written comments, correct?
Our organization.
But you're welcome to supplement that and with the information that you're about to go into there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So that was Mike Fleming. Jeff Bell, Stacy Gillette, and Maria... Manrique? So, Jeff Bell?
Right here.
That's you. All right.
My name is Jeff Bell, and I'm here for the outdoor tire storage. I'm sure you guys have seen my face before. My piece of property, I started leasing it in 1995. From the guy that owns it, and it was currently a car wash that couldn't be converted without millions of dollars. So I leased it from the guy that owns it, and I opened up a good used tire store. That was in 1995. Since then, I've been conducting my business 7 days a week for the public, helping people keep their cars rolling. The outdoor storage is pretty important to us. A building to house these tires into is a lot of money. We don't make a lot of money, but we are pretty proud of our business. I think we should put fences around. I don't think people should have to see our tires. I think that plants to beautify the outside between the fences and the sidewalks are awesome. But to actually just close the place down after 23 years of my life, it just doesn't make sense to me. The property will just sit there vacant, most likely. Nobody can spend that kind of money to build a building. And if they can, they're probably the bigger corporations. I just wanted to make my comment, and I appreciate your guys' time viewing this this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Stacy Gillette, then again, I apologize, I'm having trouble reading this, Maria Marique, and then Rick Rosenblatt.
Good evening, I'm Stacey Gillette. I reside at 3809 North 33rd Street. Getting over a cold, so bear with me. I'm here to give public comment or testimony on the commercial view sensitive district height methodology, and that's quite a mouthful. My concern is shared. I think it's been slightly echoed by a couple of the other folks that have given comments. In terms of the intent of this amendment to sort of promote parity among the parcels in the C2 district, and I'm particularly concerned with the North 34th and Proctor district. So that one is the sort of unusual one, right, where you may notice that the height limit is on just one side of the street, and I've asked for some additional information about why that was done. I think that alone is sort of the core issue of the parity in terms of creating consistency and code for building height measurement within that C2 district and also outside of it, so within the broader neighborhood of sort of across the Proctor Bridge, the North Proctor neighborhood, as we call it. So what I am proposing or would love for you all to think about is the idea of actually expanding the view-sensitive overlay district to that entire North 34th and Proctor C2 district, which I hope in the future will be a C1. That's just a little side note there, and I will be participating in that process as well. So that's my comment. Thank you for your time, consideration.
Thank you. Maria. No Maria. Okay. Rick Rosenblatt, and then the last name is Gomez, and then Jesus Diego.
Thank you. I'm Rick Rosenblatt. I live at 5 Rosemont Way in Tacoma, and I wanted to speak about the open space corridors. Just a quick comment. First off, I'd like to compliment and thank your staff, Mr. Wong and Mr. Barnett in particular, for getting this information to us. It's a lot of people and a lot of impact here, so I'm glad they did that. Get a letter from Tacoma, I was open. I never know what's going to be in it, so I do appreciate it. I guess my concern with that is, yes, it's important for protecting trees and wetlands and all the things you're proposing, but it's a pretty severe cutback in what you can do with your property down to 35%. It's kind of like having a building lot and then say, well, you can only build on 35% of it. That's a fairly dramatic reduction in the use that you can have of that. It's like saying, oh, I was going to build a house, now I'll put a tiny home. So, but anyway, if you just take a close look at that, that seems pretty severe. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The last name is Gomez. Then Jesus Diego. Then Dean Wilson. None of those three folks, okay? And then Loretta Ramos.
That's me, and I guess I didn't really realize that I was signing up to speak.
You don't have, if you don't want to speak, you don't have to speak.
Well,
if you want to, please approach the podium.
I just want to mention some things.
Welcome.
And thank you. And thank you for entertaining me. I live at 831 South Rochester Street, which is a block and a half down from 6902 6th Avenue, where the proposed site for Car Wash Enterprises to put in a new Brown Bear Car Wash. And I agree that the car wash, or the Brown Bear Car Wash that's half a mile or half a block down the road, whatever, is landlocked, you know, and they have a ton of people that go in there, my husband included. And as well as he would like to see something like that go in, I have to tell you that how I even got started in this is that I was interested in the 6902 building because I'm a mental health counselor and a chemical dependency counselor, and I wanted to open up my own practice. And I like that building, and I would be able to walk to work. So my issue is that I've spoken to Jim Hansen, who's the project manager of Car Wash Enterprises for this particular project, is my understanding. And The reason why I've talked to him is because I was interested in that building, but I've also talked to the city regarding the homeless population that has taken up residence repeatedly at this particular property, at the 6902. We currently have a homeless situation going on there, again, as we speak, and I have pictures. The city, the person that I've spoken to at the city has said that they would contact Car Wash Enterprises because Car Wash Enterprises has made no effort to enclose these properties at all. And the building that I'm speaking of, the 6902, formerly was a bank originally, I believe C-First Bank, many years ago. I've been a homeowner there since 1993. And there is an alcove which leads into the building. The homeless people are making their encampments there. Some months ago, there was a pretty extensive homeless encampment, both there in that little alcove and on the further west end of the building, a smaller one. And, you know, with clotheslines and rocking chairs and in the bushes and all that stuff. Now we have a sofa. And the doorway has actually been boarded up. And like I said, I have pictures on my phone. I took them today. Someone has moved in there again. I mean, it's kind of like an apartment with turnover. Someone was there. They've moved. Someone else has moved in. They have their shopping carts full. They're sleeping on that sofa or whatever. We have children that live right next door. There's a parking lot there. I'm sorry. We have children that live next door, and they've been over there, and I fear the worst, you know. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right. So that was Mr. Wong. Is there a third sign up? Did anyone else sign up? All right. So then so people who did not sign up.
I signed up. I passed over my name. I can see it also.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson. Yes, I did. I think I read it once, but then walked right by you. Sorry about that.
Thank you. My name is Dean Wilson. I live at 1401 South Sunset Drive. I'm speaking here on behalf of the West Slope Neighborhood Coalition, of which I'm the current chair. Just wanted to echo the words of our friends from the West End Neighborhood Council who expressed concerns about the car wash issue and the noise and congestion and so forth that we're concerned about. I just would want to point out, looking at the study, we frankly did not perceive a cogent reason why there should be an across-the-board amendment that would affect all neighborhood centers such as ours just because one person has applied for a car wash in the 6th Avenue District. We don't understand, frankly, why suddenly we're going to make car washes appropriate for the neighborhood centers. And so we would just oppose that, just in general, that car washes should not be allowed within those areas. Thank you.
All right, that now exhausts the sign-in list. There is not a third one, so I will ask see if there's anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify before the Planning Commission. I will start with the gentleman who just raised his hand in the center of the room. I'll check again on this side, then go over to that side of the room.
My name
so
is
please
Ken.
Your name and address okay. for the record.
My name is Ken Kingsbury, 839 South Oxford Street, and also a member of the Weston Neighborhood Council. I oppose the car wash going in on 6th Avenue. This is going to be a nice area. I've been living in my house for 42 years. I've seen every change you can think of on 6th Avenue since the freeway closed, from very vibrant area to almost was dead. The traffic from a car wash bringing a lot of vehicles into the area constantly overflows onto 6th Avenue, and my understanding is you're going to have to enter off of a side street. Those are already narrow streets, lots of cars on them from people that live in the area. And also, it would make it very difficult for emergency vehicles to get down these streets if you've got cars backed up on them. I do not see this being very good for our community, and especially now that it's starting to turn around and the area is starting to develop the way we want it to. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on this side of the room? Anybody over here who wants to speak? All right, so that concludes our acceptance of testimony for tonight's meeting. I'll remind everybody that the opportunity to provide written comments to the City and the Planning Commission extends until Friday, April 6th at 5 p.m. And then before I close the public hearing, are there any questions from planning commissioners who would like to ask the staff for details or guidance, or do you have any suggestions for things that the staff needs to be working on before they bring this back to us at our next meeting? Commissioner Santoff, and you may need to turn your light on.
We had a couple comments around the view sensitive district that suggested that maybe it applied to a broader area of the city than I, for one, thought it would. So I'd like some clarity on if we think it applies to all the VSD areas that we have within the city, as well as, I believe someone mentioned, other business districts. So just clarity on, mm-hmm. on what staff's take is on that.
Other commissioners? Not seeing anything there. Let me go back to my notes. I don't have anything. Oh, Commissioner Killen.
Thank you for your presentation, staff. Good job with the packet and everything. Maybe at the next hearing it might be beneficial if you go over some kind of examples, because I want to make sure that we all understand the methodology, especially for the height measurements and the couple options. Maybe if you could actually put that before us so we make sure that we all understand it correctly and also the audience can follow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I think that Commissioner Givens wasn't a member of the commission the last, this is actually the second hearing we've had on that topic. And so maybe a little bit of refresher, because we've previously had hearings on the VSD issue in the Heights and also the tire storage. We had a hearing on that too. So reminding ourselves and the audience that we've already been through a previous hearing process on these items might be useful for the future. Commissioner Strobel.
Yes, I'd be interested on the VSD issue of some sort of information of, I guess, a do-nothing option in working through a variance process associated with that. So I'd just be curious to understand what sort of the status quo process for height variances are.
Okay, certainly.
Commissioners Edmonds, Vice Chair Peterson. All right. Do you have any questions for us?
No, great. I appreciate the feedback and the direction. So just to reiterate for the audience, we will be summarizing the testimony and providing the original copies of the testimony for the Planning Commission and compiling that for your next meeting, as well as identifying any issues or staff responses to bring to the commission's attention based on that, and options for the commission to consider in moving this forward.
Great. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
So with that, I'll formally close tonight's public hearing. Moving on to communication items.
Good evening, commissioners. Brian Boudet with Planning and Development Services. Just a couple things to touch on. There were two items provided in your packet in response to requests that the commission made at previous meeting. One regarding the Tacoma Mall subarea plan, providing some additional information about the changes that the City Council is considering as it goes through its final consideration of that. So we provided the SEPA.
SEPA amendments.
Yes, the SEPA addendum. So hopefully that provides a little bit more description of what those changes in fact are. I would just note from a timing perspective on the mall, there is the informational meeting coming up on April 16th. In addition, the study session and public hearing in front of the city council is on the 24th. And because one of the changes that the IPS committee incorporated into their recommendation was the inclusionary zoning piece that you see in there, which is a pretty significant new concept, one of the reasons why there was the SEPA addendum. We're also trying to put together a special stakeholder meeting with some folks from the development community to try to get some information back to the council, because one of the questions that was basically left at IPS committee was sort of the idea of whether or not the market can bear the inclusionary zoning concept that the IPS committee has put forward. So while we don't have time to do a full study, we're trying to get some information back to council on that end, as well as just making sure that people are aware of what the proposal is so they can provide testimony to the council. The other item that you
have... Can I ask a question on that, Brian?
Yeah, please.
So the... Would the provision for inclusionary zoning follow the same vesting rules as development, or would it be on its own separate parallel world in which even a development that's already in process would automatically become subject to the inclusionary rules?
So, not a lawyer, but my own understanding of it's part of the development regulations, okay. And so you would get vested in the same way as you would to all the rest of the development regulations. The other item that was in your packet was regarding the bylaws, and the commission requested some additional information, benchmarking and otherwise, about bylaws. You actually have in there not only benchmarking, but also some suggested language. Our intent's not necessarily to cover that tonight, but obviously when we come back at the next meeting and talk a little bit about potential modifications that the commission might consider as you make your recommendation forward to City Council, because as we talked about, this is one that would actually necessitate a change to the code. That's obviously something that the Planning Commission could consider incorporating, and we can talk about that more at the next meeting. The other two that I'll just make mention of, from again, just to, so that you're aware, the temporary shelter regulations are proceeding through the City Council's process. It was actually up for final reading last night, but the Council decided to push it off for a week. There were multiple amendments, two in particular, and I mentioned these, I think, at the last meeting, but still conversation going on about those amendments and how those might be incorporated into the City Council's final approval. And then the last one is the Sound Transit, the Tacoma Dome Link extension, and the partnership agreement that we came to the Planning Commission a couple months ago and talked about, and you provided some early guidance or thoughts that you thought would make sense to provide to the City Council. That they could then ultimately provide on to Sound Transit as early guidance about city issues or city comments and suggestions. That also went to study session, and that will come up for the City Council's action by resolution here this next week. And I will say from the study session, I think they were very much consistent with the types of issues that both the IPS committee and the Planning Commission put forward, with some extra emphasis on things like facilitating future expansions and making sure that everyone recognizes this is not the end of the line forever, that the intention here is that this will extend it at least to the mall, if not further long term. And obviously we don't want to design a system that creates a dead end that doesn't work for those. They also really reiterated the idea of making sure there's an effective connection to the east side, that there's a contemplated east side station, and we need to make sure that it in fact services the east side in an effective way, and sort of strongly indicating that the idea of this next 18 months and the alternatives analysis process just needs to be broad enough to make sure that it examines all of the realistic alternatives, so that we make sure that when a call is made next summer that, yeah, we're all cool with sticking with it for the next 10 years. So with that, that's all I have. Like I say, a really good input from the council on that. I think our appreciation for your work and thought.
Commissioner Santo.
Yeah, a related item. Sound Transit convened the stakeholder group for the first time last week on Wednesday. I also learned at that meeting that they're going to have their first community open house on Tuesday, April 17th, which is the Tuesday before our next commission meeting at the Best Western at the Tacoma Dome from 6 to 8. So
I'd invite any other commissioners who are interested to attend that with me as well. It's Tuesday, April 17th, and I'll make sure that staff has the flyer so they can send it out to the whole commission.
We'll send it out. Yeah, we've got it. Yeah, and it's actually open house / pre-scoping meeting. So, yeah, they're going through a pre-scoping process right now.
From 6 to 8.
That's all I got.
On the topic of the Tacoma Mall Neighborhood Subarea Plan, I would call everyone's attention to an article that was posted online on the News Tribune today. I'm assuming it will be in the paper tomorrow about the proposed major redevelopment of the Tacoma Mall property. Simon is proposing a redevelopment of the entire Sears parcel and a redesign of South 43rd Street and the potential building of a movie theater, which I find ironic as I've lived in Tacoma long enough to remember when there was a movie theater at the Tacoma Mall before it was turned down to build a Krispy Kreme. There used to be a two-screen movie theater there.
Tacoma Mall Twin.
Yep, one of two movie theaters in the South End and South Tacoma. There used to be a movie theater on Hosmer.
Not torn down for the Krispy Kreme, but there was a gap in there. It is where the Krispy Kreme is. It was where the Krispy Kreme is now.
Yeah. So anyway, just call people's attention to that article because there are a number of things that are being proposed there that seems very consistent with things that we've talked about as a commission. So I thought it was interesting development proposal. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Mr. Wong. I know. That's a.
Mr. Chair, I move to adjourn.
Wait a second. Just Mr. Wong raised his hand.
So next week we're going to present about the annual amendment item. We're going to present staff response to comments received.
Okay.
And with staff proposed modifications for the commissioner's consideration. Regarding the proposed or potential change to the bylaws and 1302 regarding the issue of absence, I am going to go ahead include that as one of the staff's proposed potential additional changes to the package. If you don't have any burning questions for me with regard to the information that I provide in the packet. Is that okay? Go ahead, proceed with that.
Can I see some heads nodding?
Okay.
Yes. Can we ask questions about it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me clarify. Communication items are usually for information only, but that does not preclude the commission from conducting actions, taking actions. Actions include review, discussion, even voting. So it is up to you, Chair.
All right. So please ask your questions, Commissioner Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple questions. You don't need to have an answer now, but that I'd like answered next week is when I read what other commissions were doing, many of them, three consecutive meetings, many of them just had three unexcused absences, period. So why would we want to have a stronger, why does it have to be consecutive that they're unexcused? And another thing I noticed that two of the other commissions do was after the second unexcused absence, there's a letter that goes to the commissioner saying, hey, heads up, this is the, if you continue on this path, this is the course of action that may take place. So I liked that. That's all.
Noted. Thank you.
I'll say the one big difference on the number is a lot of commissions meet once a month instead of twice a month, so that's part of the difference. If you only meet 12 times and you miss three, that's a pretty big deal.
My only thought was rather than think about the option between a calendar year versus 12 months. There, I know, I think like Sustainable Tacoma Commission does a 12-month period, and the committee that I staff wearing my daytime job, we look at it on a rolling 12-month period. But I can be convinced either way. So if I understand correctly, that the process would be that we would have to add an amendment to the code, because some of this is in 13.02, and then if the council concurs, then we would go back and amend our bylaws to match 13.02.
That's exactly right.
All right. Is there anything else for the commission tonight? If not, I will entertain Commissioner Strobel's motion now.
I was out of order, technically. I move to adjourn, Mr. Chair.
I second that.
Is there any opposition? We're adjourned.